This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Jesus said, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first reading for today comes from Ruth, chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life, and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child, and laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, A son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, Let them first learn to show godliness to their own household, and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God, and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our third reading, as well as our sermon text for today, comes from St. John, the 19th chapter. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. At this time, we confess together the basics of our faith. The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's a question for you. What is the best gift that you have ever been given? I suppose just about all of you are probably thinking, well, of course it's Jesus. It's the salvation he gives for us and the forgiveness that he won for us. And hopefully we can all agree that that is indeed the best gift that we have ever been given. But let me ask you another question then. What is the next best gift that you have been given? Now, I'm guessing most of you will probably say something like family. And that's not a bad thing. The Lord teaches us to love him most of all, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. And for most of us, who is our closest neighbor but our family members? So, it's good, it's right, it's natural for us to love our family. This, of course, is exactly what Jesus was doing when he spoke to his mother and the beloved disciple from the cross. Our Lord shows his loving care for his family, most directly to his mother, yet also for his entire extended family as well. Even in the midst of his suffering, even in the midst of his crucifixion and the anguish that he had to endure, Jesus was concerned about providing for the well-being of others. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Mary was to regard this disciple as her own son. And then he says to the disciple, of course, "Behold your mother." So John was to regard Mary as his own mom. Jesus said these things because he was concerned for his mother and what would happen to her after his death and after his resurrection and after he ascended into the clouds. He knew that Mary would still need to be taken care of. You see, as the oldest son of the family, this was Jesus' responsibility. He was to care for his mother. And since he knows that he will be absent from that task, Jesus designates John to take his place, to ensure that she would have someone that she could rely on, someone who would protect her in the days ahead. So that's what John did. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. John undoubtedly took very good care of Mary, and she certainly probably treated him with kindness and grateful devotion and the kind of respect that she would treat to anybody who would have an adopted son. Jesus made sure that all would turn around for blessing for both of them. He also made sure that all of this would turn out for our blessing. Jesus hung on the cross and he was providing, certainly for his immediate family that was standing there, but he was providing for his entire extended family of the church, the family of believers. His loving care for his mother was part of what we call his active obedience. That means that he lives the perfect life on our behalf. Jesus keeps the fourth commandment perfectly, honoring his mother as all of us should honor our parents and authorities. He did it in our place. That way his obedience could be counted as our obedience. And God gives us the credit for what Jesus did for his mother. Yet in addition to that, Jesus was also our substitute. He died the death that we deserve. Jesus took the full penalty of sin onto his shoulders, and he endured God's wrath for it. He hung on the cross. He died so that we would be fully forgiven. For all the times that we failed to care for our family, or all those times that we failed to honor authorities the way that we should, Jesus forgives us. The guilt of our sin is entirely removed so that God regards us as pure and clean and holy, just as he saw his own son. God now accepts all of us. All of us who trust in him as his dear children. It means that we are Jesus' brothers and sisters. It means that Jesus himself said that we are his brothers and sisters. He says, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So the reality is that on the cross, our Lord Jesus made us his true family. And we know from this account that Jesus cares for his family first. And so that's what he's doing today. Even in the midst of our current pandemic and this outbreak that's been going on around our country, Jesus is still caring for his family. He is constantly by our side, constantly providing for our body and our soul. He protects us, he forgives us, he guides us in his word day by day. And what else did Jesus do? He calms our fears. In the assurance of his cross, we know that we have nothing to fear because Jesus has overcome all of our enemies by his own death and resurrection. He comforts and cheers us, and he fills us with hope. He hears our prayers and answers them in the ways that he knows is best. Every moment of every day, Jesus loves us conditionally as his own dear family. And it means that we ought to do the same. Again, Jesus gives us a great example of what it looks like to care for a family. And so we ought to care for the families that God has given us. Our families are a gift from God, aren't they? You didn't choose your parents or your siblings. God gave them to you. And even though God may have used you as an instrument in the creation of your children, you didn't make them. God made them. And he entrusted them into your care. In the same way, your spouse is a gift from God. Of course, you know, in the marriage rite, we give our willing consent that we're going to enter into this relationship, but it is God who takes a husband and a wife, and he joins them together into marriage. But he is the one who provided that husband or wife and united you as one. God has given us the gift of family. And he expects us to take good care of them. That's why he gave the fourth commandment to begin with. Honor your father and your mother, which not only includes obedience and service and respect with children towards their parents, but also respect with all authorities and everything that we have for people who have been placed over us. All this is practicing good stewardship of the family. And the truth is that in our world right now, we have the perfect opportunity to do that, to care for our family when they have need. And so certainly call your family, check in on them, see if they need any help from you. Or maybe you need help from them. But our day and age, we have this great privilege. So when we provide for the bodily needs of our family members, when we are loyal to them and protect them, and when we give them proper honor and respect and actually listen to them and we speak to them kindly, and when we're concerned for their emotional and physical well-being, we're doing what Jesus did. We're acting in service. We're following our Lord. Now, if we love our families the way we think we do, it shouldn't be that hard to care for them. Yet, sometimes we have trouble with this. Sometimes we're rude with our family members. Sometimes we're short-tempered. Sometimes we're negligent. And the reason why is because of our sin. Because by nature we are selfish. Yet as we live in the promises of Jesus, as we live in what he did for us through his death and resurrection, we can love our families just as Christ loved his. My friends, learn from Jesus, and by the power of his forgiving grace, follow his example of loving care for your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather, and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, cleanse us by the power of your redeeming blood, that in purity and peace we may worship and adore your holy name. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God, the Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.